Welcome everyone to The Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at The Score. Appreciate you joining me today. It's a big week. The Score Fantasy Football Draft gets going live on Thursday, so depending when you're listening to this episode, it might already be up over at The Score. And as always, it's 100% free, there's no charge, and it has what I believe and what I think I've proven to be the most accurate rankings in the industry, and those are going to be updated all throughout training camp, all throughout the preseason, but that's not all. There's also my dynasty trade value charts in there. There's draft tiers. There's salary cap values or auction values, some people still call it. Plus, it's got all my breakouts, my busts, sleepers, the players who are going to lead you to a title, the strength of schedule matrix. There's depth charts. There's mock drafts. And this isn't even the final product, not by a long shot. We're going to be updating it daily. So we're going to have strategy articles in there and offensive line rankings and preseason takeaways. All the podcast episodes are going to be in there and so much more. So I hope you're as excited as I am for this. I think it's a one-stop shop where you can get caught up on everything. You can use my rankings and my content as a guide to help you draft the best team possible and hopefully get some bragging rights over your league mates. Because let's face it, some leagues, they have money on the line. Some have trophies. What's better than beating your coworker, beating your cousin, even beating a stranger if it's a stranger? It feels good to win. That's what we're here to help you do. So go check out that draft kit when it's live on Thursday and keep checking back for all those updates that are going to come out over the next few days, over the next few weeks as we get closer to the main fantasy draft season, which doesn't take place until last couple weeks of August and the first week of September there. Okay, enough of that. On today's show, I want to go over a couple news items that caught my eye over the last few days, and then we're going to rattle off some of the important training camp storylines that I'm watching for. Last week, we talked about the training camp battles that we're monitoring. We talked with Dave Kluge of Football Guys about that. You can go back and listen to that one if you haven't already. But today, we're discussing some of the non-position battle storylines that are going to be really important for fantasy drafts and for fantasy season. So let's get to it with the news. The first thing up is J.K. Dobbins saying that he's going to be ready for week one. And this was kind of funny, right? We had Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. He came out and said that Dobbins might not be ready for week one. And then shortly after, Dobbins retweeted it and he fired right back saying that he will be. And I'm paraphrasing. He said a lot more than that. But essentially, that's what it boiled down to. And I know a lot of people just ran with what they heard from Dobbins and saying that he says he's going to be ready to go here. I need to see him on a football field first. He's coming back from that torn ACL. There's been talk that it could be more than just a torn ACL. We'll see if he's good to go when training camp starts. Like, that's what he kind of suggested, right? Or if it's still going to take some time for him here. I don't think the Ravens are going to want to rush him back, even though I know it's going to be almost a year removed from the injury by the time he gets back out there. But this is a team that they ran a committee backfield even when everyone was healthy, right? So that's why I'm kind of preaching caution on Dobbins. You have Gus Edwards, who's also coming back from the torn ACL. He was in the mix a lot when both these guys were 100%. So even if they're back and they're good to go, I still think we're likely going to see a committee. There's just no way they're going to put a full workload on anybody here. And if they really want to play it safe, they might work in rookie Tyler Beatty. They might work in journeyman that they signed in the offseason, Mike Davis. And on top of that, this backfield doesn't see a lot of targets. So for Dobbins to erupt, he's going to need a huge touchdown total, kind of like Mark Ingram did a few years ago with the Ravens. It can happen, but do you really trust a guy coming off a torn ACL to get enough work to really put up a huge fantasy season? That's why I'm kind of staying away from Dobbins at the moment, and it might be a mistake in the end, but I'm willing to play it safe here, just like I think the Ravens should do with Dobbins and Edwards. I wouldn't rush those guys back. Speaking of not rushing back, I mean, there's a report also from Ian Rappaport that there's some optimism that Michael Thomas could be cleared early in camp. And you know the situation here. Thomas has been dealing with these ankle issues for, what, the better part of 2 years now. He's been putting out some videos recently of him training. He sure looks slow in those videos. I don't know if other people like speed up the videos before they put them online, but Thomas sure looks slow. He did not look 100% yet. And even if he does get back to full health, whether it's in camp, whether it's in the preseason, whether it's for week one, this isn't the same offense that he was in when he was putting up those 100 catch seasons. He had his BFF Drew Brees back then. Drew Brees is gone. And now they got a lot of target competition. They have the first rounder, Chris Olave, who they brought in. He can be that speedster on the outside. Might jive pretty well with Jameis Winston at quarterback. Jameis likes throwing that deep ball. You have Jarvis Landry, who could take some of those Thomas-like targets over the middle, some of those hard-earned ones out there. Not to mention Alvin Kamara, who may or may not face a suspension. Right now, it seems like it's leaning like he's not going to face a suspension this year, might be pushed back to 2023. So I'm really not that bullish on Thomas at the moment. And it's the injury, but like I said, it's also that target competition there now. Just a lot of risk if you're taking him this year, because there's other players that I'd rather have in that range of the draft. A couple 49ers items I want to talk about. Jimmy Garoppolo should be cleared by mid-August, according to Rappaport. And also, Adam Schefter came over the top with another one today, said that the 49ers have granted Jimmy G the chance to seek out a trade. So that might facilitate the process. Either way, we've been saying it all offseason. This is Trey Lance's team now. It would be an incredible long shot at this point. It would have to have just the exact right set of circumstances to get Garoppolo to stay in San Fran and actually impact Lance this season. It would basically require Lance to get injured in training camp or the preseason before any sort of Jimmy G trade happens. And I don't want to see that go down. Let's hope that doesn't go down. We want to see Lance out there proving his doubters wrong this season. And let's get Jimmy to Seattle. I know I talked about it on the show. I think I brought it up maybe the last couple weeks here. I would love to see Jimmy end up in Seattle somehow. I don't know if they'll trade him there. It would require him maybe to get released and then sign with Seattle. But that's one way to save the fantasy value in that Seahawks offense. Probably won't happen, but I'd still like to see it. Another 49ers news item to talk about here. Matt Barrows of The Athletic reports that running back Jeff Wilson remains Elijah Mitchell's main backup as of now. And that's notable because we've been projecting rookie Tyrion Davis-Price to eventually get that number two job in San Fran. And I still expect that that's going to happen. But TDP, apparently he missed some practices in the spring and the early summer there. Wilson, reportedly, he looks better this year. He's not coming off the knee surgery that he had last season. So we'll see this battle play out in training camp in the preseason, but we're still anticipating that Davis-Price is going to earn that role at some point in the near future here. And then the last news item, rookie tight end Greg Dulcich is going to compete with Albert O for the starting job in Denver. And that's from Mike Kliss of 9 News. And this one's not shocking. There's been rumblings kind of trickling out from the Broncos beat reporters all offseason that Dulcich looks good, that he's making plays in practice. Kliss called him the more natural receiver of the two. My guess here is that this is just going to make both guys really inconsistent for fantasy. Each one's going to pop up, have some games, some touchdowns. We know Albert O can score those touchdowns. He's a real weapon in the red zone, but neither is really going to be the kind of weekly starter that you want in your fantasy squad, especially when you factor in the rest of the players on that offense. Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick. There's a lot of talk that the running backs could see a bunch of targets this year based on head coach Nathaniel Hackett's history when he was an offensive coordinator. So it could be tough for these tight ends to be regular contributors on your fantasy team. We're going to have to push Albert O down a bit in our next update. That does it for the news, though. So let's get to these training camp storylines that I've been thinking a bunch about recently and the ones that I'm just most excited to see play out over the next month or so and into the preseason. I have 10 on my list here. I'll try to get through them quick. There are plenty more, I'm sure, that you have. You can write them and comment in and send them to me on Twitter. Let me know what you're thinking about here, what you're really excited to see and monitor over the next few weeks. But these are the ones that I'm looking at. And for the first one here, I'm going to rope a bunch of injured players together. I'm checking in on the health of all these guys. Who's healthy and who's not? So guys like Michael Thomas and J.K. Dobbins, who we mentioned earlier. T. Higgins, who had shoulder surgery in the offseason. Is he ready to pick up where he left off as a top 12 fantasy receiver? Robert Woods coming back from the torn ACL, the Titans. I think they're really hoping that he can be the number one receiver there, but will he be ready for week one? Is Travis Etienne all the way back from that Lisfranc surgery? The reports during OTAs were glowing. What will he look like when he's back and in the daily grind in camp? Will that wear him down? Is the foot going to hold up? What about his teammate, James Robinson, coming off the torn Achilles? I think we could mention Cam Akers here too. We saw Akers last year. It's not just about coming back from the Achilles. It's what kind of version are you when you come back from that injury? Is Robinson going to be 70, 80, 90% of himself? Maybe less? I mean, Akers sure looked like he was less than that in the playoffs when he came back, and that was 7 months post-surgery. So that's going to be one to watch. And depending what we see, it could mean that you're going to want to invest more in Daryl Henderson in the Rams backfield or even in Snoop Connor in the Jags backfield, the rookie. He could be that bigger bodied guy to pair with Etienne if Robinson isn't ready to go. Akers' teammate, Matthew Stafford, another guy that I want to make sure he's healthy. Hasn't thrown all offseason. He had that anti-inflammatory injection in his elbow. Is he going to be ready to answer the bell when training camp starts? I could keep going here. I mean, Robert Tonyan, Big Bob Tonyan, the Packers tight end. We've been talking so much about who the Packers' number one receiver could be, but if Tonyan's healthy, he's going to play a significant role in that offense. And if he's not healthy, could we see a sleeper emerge in that tight end spot in Green Bay? Maybe Tyler Davis, who did some things late last year. I know the organization seems to really like him. Another guy we got to talk about, Raheem Mostert. I'm not so sure based on the quotes from the coaching staff that we're going to see Mostert in July or August. And he might not be ready for week one. And that would clear a path for Chase Edmonds, but it would also give Sony Michel a lot more fantasy value and maybe even a clear role in that backfield. I'll even throw out a couple guys who aren't hurt right now, but who have long injury histories like Rashad Penny. Can he stay healthy long enough to delay Kenneth Walker from taking over the starting job in Seattle? What about Paris Campbell with the Colts? We desperately want to see Paris Campbell stay on the field and show us what he can do over a long stretch of games, maybe even over a full season. So whatever we need to do to make that happen, please, fantasy gods, let Paris Campbell play 17 games this year. Because if he does, we could be talking about a difference maker in fantasy. He's that talented. So that's a long string of names. I know there's probably some others out there, but it's just to say that we're going to be watching these injured players closely just to see where they're at. I'll be updating the rankings accordingly. We'll be talking about the updates on the podcast, but those are the names that I for sure am going to monitor over the next few weeks here. Number two on my list in terms of important training camp storylines, will Cordarrelle Patterson have the same role this year? And who's his backup going to be in Atlanta? The Falcons. So they elected to sit Patterson in OTAs. They didn't really let him practice. They said it was in an effort to get him ready for the grind of the season. To me, that says he's going to be a big part of the offense again. It could also mean that he has some sort of lingering injury that we don't know about, but we're going to go with the latter. We're going to assume that it means he's a big part of the offense this year. I don't think he's a guy that will get 250, 300 touches. We saw last year, he broke down. They really didn't have another quality playmaker in the backfield to go to. So you need somebody to pair him with, somebody who can handle some of that workload. Will it be the rookie Tyler Algier, who profiles as that kind of bigger early down grinder back? Or will it be the veteran Damian Williams, who really isn't getting much hype this offseason, hasn't done much lately, but was pretty good for the Chiefs a few years ago, so he could probably get something done in that backfield. He could also maybe just be the Mike Davis that they had last year, the veteran that can't really do anything behind that offensive line. We'll see. But for now, I've been moving Patterson up a bit. I'm willing to roll with him as my RB2. If I go with a hero RB build, if I wait for my second back, Patterson could be that guy. That's what I did in Scott Fishbowl. I waited and got Patterson pretty deep into the draft. I think he could have another solid season here. I know he's 31, but I think he could do it again. Whether he breaks down late in the year, maybe, but I think he could get off to a hot start again this year. Number three on my list, how will James Cook be used in Buffalo? Is he a threat to Devin Singletary's starting job? Is he just an overqualified satellite back? I think we're going to get some insight on this right away in camp, and I suspect it's probably going to follow the pattern that GM Brandon Bean laid out after the draft. He talked about how Cook's going to play that pass-catching specialist role behind Singletary, and then where it goes from there, it's really just going to depend on what Cook can handle and how he performs when he does get touches, right? Because if he's explosive, if he brings that new wrinkle to the offense, it's not out of the question that he could take on more work, and that's great for the Bills in real life, might not be great for fantasy, unless he can completely overtake Singletary, which probably won't occur. Number four, can Baker Mayfield revive his career in Carolina? What does he look like learning this Panthers offense in just a couple weeks and then getting thrown out on the field for training camp? Is he going to be the boost that we've been waiting for when looking at DJ Moore's ceiling? Could he lift Robbie Anderson and Terrace Marshall into being fantasy contributors? It should look a lot better than what we saw with Sam Darnold. Mayfield, he has the confidence to pull this off. It just might take some time. It's hard to expect much out of him right out of the gate, right? The Browns, they waited. They didn't trade him early in the offseason when he would have had a chance to learn an offense and really get acclimated to his new team. They wait till the last minute. They basically sewered him by doing that. I don't think they did it on purpose. I think they were just trying to get the best deal they could. And I'm not someone who's a huge Baker Mayfield fan, but I do feel a little bad for him that he's going to have to go out there and perform and probably be under a lot of scrutiny right off the bat, even though he's just still learning this playbook. But I'm willing to change my mind on Baker. If he can kickstart this Panthers offense, if he can help their stars like McCaffrey and Moore produce, maybe I will change my mind on Baker Mayfield. Number five, what does the Vikings offense look like? Is it as pass happy as how it's been described in OTAs by some of the beat writers? It sure seems that way based on the quotes from them, the quotes from the players too. Head coach Kevin O'Connell bringing over that Rams style offense after being their OC for a couple years. And this could be a big change, right? After the Vikings had kind of an old school coaching staff and a pretty old school approach under Mike Zimmer before. So Justin Jefferson could be in for a career year. And that is really saying something. You're talking about a guy who has the most receiving yards ever through their first two seasons. Could mean good things for Adam Thielen. Could mean that he stays relevant. And that really will just come down to whether he can stay healthy or not. But if he does, he's been so good for fantasy. I put this in the Risky Picks column a week or two ago, but this is Thielen. The last 5 years in terms of fantasy points per game, 2017, wide receiver 11. 2018, wide receiver 7. 2019, wide receiver 23, and that was through 7 weeks, and then injuries kind of derailed his season that year. 2020, wide receiver 11, and then last year, wide receiver 9 through the first 12 weeks of the season before injuries hit. So just outstanding. He is well worth the risk in the middle rounds. I've started to take some shots on him for sure. And their third receiver, KJ Osborne, he's worth the risk as a late round guy, just in case Thielen gets banged up again. I'm also looking at Irv Smith as a late round tight end, and obviously Dalvin Cook, a strong pick in the first round. I've even seen him slip into the early second in some drafts, just an outstanding value there. So invest in this offense, because the improvement, the coaching staff, it could be a big win for them. And we're going to have to watch during training camp in the preseason to get a better feel of how they're going to deploy all these pieces they have now. Number six in terms of important training camp storylines, and this is another one where I'm going to group a few players together here, but I'll do it quick, I promise. Who is Aaron Rodgers throwing to? Who is Patrick Mahomes throwing to? Who is Daniel Jones throwing to? And I know one of those things is not like the others, but those are the offenses that are in flux for a variety of reasons. And it's going to be meaningful for fantasy who they're going to target the most in these practices, in the preseason games. In Green Bay right now, going into training camp, I have it ranked Alan Lazard, the rookie Christian Watson, the other rookie Romeo Dubs, Sammy Watkins, Randall Cobb, couple of veterans there, Amari Rodgers, the sophomore who we really didn't see do much last year, and then a super long shot, I have Juwan Winfrey ranked. That's only for like really deep dynasty leagues or something. You could take a shot on him. But right now, I don't have any of them particularly high in my ranks. They could also bring in a Julio Jones. It's possible they could go outside the organization if they don't like what they're seeing from that group and bring in somebody like Julio or Will Fuller, who is in witness protection right now. We don't hear anything about Will Fuller or any teams interested in him. I don't know what's going on there. That is a very strange one. I hope that he lands somewhere and we can see him do something for fantasy and get his career going again. But right now, we haven't really gotten any indication of a team that's interested or where that could end up being. For the Chiefs, Travis Kelce, he's going to be the dude. But for the receivers, I have it ranked Juju Smith-Schuster, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, and Sky Moore are pretty close together, but I have MVS a little bit higher. And then Mecole Hardman a little further back. They're talking about spreading the ball around more as well. I think that's probably what we'll see happen in Green Bay too. And then for the Giants, I have Kadarius Toney first, then Kenny Golladay, and then the rookie Wandale Robinson. And we'll watch to get updates on Sterling Shepard's recovery. He's another one of those guys that's hurt that I'm really not sure if he's going to be able to do much early in the season. And then we'll see if the rookie tight end, Daniel Bellinger, right now he's in position to be the starter there on Brian Daboll's coaching staff. Can he make any noise? Normally, rookie tight ends don't do much for fantasy, but still something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. Those are really interesting situations. And where there's uncertainty, there could be big time fantasy value. So we're going to monitor those closely. Number seven on my list, is there anybody standing out in the Patriots camp? We just talked about the uncertainty just being a fertile breeding ground for fantasy value. Well, the Patriots players, they're going dirt cheap in drafts right now. So if someone does start to emerge, they could be a huge value in terms of ADP. If you can react quick and get them, it'll be a great move for you. So let's see how this backfield plays out, whether Ramondre Stevenson can pry some work away from Damian Harris, or if Stevenson or someone else steps up in the passing down role. James White's hurt. He probably won't be ready to go to start the year. So one of those other backs is going to have to take that on, and it's not going to be Damian Harris. So who will it be? Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith. Are the targets going to be as heavily in favor of Henry this year, or could that change in the receiving core? Can Devontae Parker rise to the top of the depth chart? It's just such a weird group, right? Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar, the rookie speedster Tyquan Thornton. A lot of good pieces. No one who's really great. And it wouldn't surprise me really if anyone came out of that group and became the number one pass catcher there. And if that group plays well enough, can Mac Jones be more than just an afterthought for fantasy? He's somebody who has had really positive reports this offseason. That's something to watch as well. Number eight on my list here, is Zach Wilson impressing anybody in practice? We love the Jets' weapons. We want to see the rookie Garrett Wilson and the sophomore Elijah Moore, those receivers, we want to see them break out. We want Breece Hall to be an instant star in that backfield, but a lot is going to depend on Zach Wilson's development. And I've seen more stories about his off-field antics than I have about him playing well this offseason, right? And the reports we have gotten about his play in the offseason, they've been pretty mixed. So let's hope that he can emerge as a stable quarterback, a guy who can help this offense and the talent there ascend in real life and in fantasy, but more so in fantasy because I'm a Bills fan, so we don't want to see the Jets be too good. Come on. All right, number nine here, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this one, but how good is Trey Lance? Can we get past the silly stories that are saying he has arm fatigue and that stuff? Can we just focus on the player and his development? There's going to be bumps along the way. It's not going to be perfect, but this guy is made to be a star in the fantasy world, in the NFL world. He is going to come through. He is a hard worker. He's got the system there. He's got the weapons there. Now let's see him get out on the field and ball the way his teammates have really been saying that he's been in practice. So I don't want to hear from the pundits. I don't want to hear from the blowhards who are trying to make a name for themselves in the media. Let's just see this 22-year-old quarterback do his thing. And I've talked about him plenty this offseason, so we will leave it at that. But I am very excited to see him in practice, in training camp, and in the preseason here. He's going to have a great season. And that brings us to number 10 on my list, the last training camp storyline that I'm going to highlight today. How good is George Pickens? We love the prospect. We didn't really love the landing spot because of the target competition, because the players ahead of him, but the Steelers, they tend to know what they're doing when they're drafting these receivers. And the early reports out of OTAs were that Pickens is a stud, big body guy, can make the contested catches downfield. He can turn into a number one receiver in an NFL offense. And the Steelers, they might need him to next year, depending on what happens with Deontay Johnson's contract. It's up after this season with Chase Claypool. Claypool had the down year last year. Is he going to be able to bounce back? But if Pickens starts to emerge here, how's that going to impact the fantasy value of Johnson and of Claypool? And if there's three good receivers and you got a good tight end of Pat Freiermuth, you got a good running back at Najee Harris, can the Steelers overcome a bad offensive line and be a quality offense overall with what we expect is going to be Mitch Trubisky at the helm, at least to start the year? It might be longer than that, but it seems like they're trying to bring Kenny Pickett along slowly, right? And they've done that so far in OTAs. He was running as the third quarterback. So we're going to keep an eye on the quarterback situation there, but we're definitely going to keep an eye on George Pickens, who I think could be a star in the league. And I expect we're going to see a highlight grab or two, or maybe five from him during training camp and the preseason. And I'm very excited for that. But that's all for today's show. A reminder once again, go check out the draft kit. It's got lots of good content in there. It's going to be updated constantly. I mean, just the last couple of days, we've had the seven players are going to lead you to a title. That went up. We had a 12-team mock draft with my analysis after every round. That went up. So there's always something new in there. I'm going to be off this weekend, but when we come back next week, the veterans will be reporting to camp and all hell is about to break loose. So until then, big thanks again for all the support on Twitter. I mean, I've said this before, but I've gotten some really nice messages recently, including one that said that they were impressed by my seven players who are going to lead you to a title article, that it wasn't just the same boring old players everybody picks. And they said that that article earned me a follow. So I appreciate that. And as always, big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me.